Hi there. It's the 9th of February. I'm feeling pretty good. I've been really concentrating on giving that inner child some attention and valuing and honouring her voice and her feelings. I've been walking a lot. I'm back at work now, but I'm meditating. I've been really talking kindly to myself, and I've been doing the presence process. So when I start to obsess or my thoughts start to be very judgmental, I've stopped myself and I've just taken a few minutes. And I've actually discovered that silently meditating is really valuable for me. And I've also just been very conscious of that harsh voice, and being aware of it is really helpful, because it means that I stop it. And just, you know, things are changing, the dynamic at work is changing. I'm not finding myself on the defensive or the offensive as much, both. I'm just feeling kinder. Overall, things are pretty good at the moment.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Alex.
So it sounds like things have been a bit more positive. So talk me through it.
Yeah, since I last spoke to you, and just kept continuing with the presence process and the meditation, and just stopping when I'm feeling that my head's going a bit crazy, it's been really useful for me. I feel very much that I've just completely slowed down. And there was a point when I was, you won't believe this, but my plumber just literally arrived.
You need to go deal with it. Sorry.
I might have to move. I might have to go upstairs. Sorry.
It's all right.
It's too much going on. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's perfect. That's great. So you were saying that with the stop presence process and with the sort of meditation, that you just feel things feel a bit more settled, a bit calmer.
So much so. And I'm just not, I mean, there was a point before I did this, the stuff in the reset program, where I was waking up in the middle of the night and my head was just going a million miles an hour. And I'm puffed out now from coming up two flights of stairs. And I'm just not now. And I feel like there's been a real big shift. And that there's been this quest that I've been on for so long, it seems, to try and identify or reconnect with the real me. I feel that there's been some kind of merge of the two. You know, I really do like have a real sense of that. And I can access that when I'm doing the meditations. I often feel that connection much more vividly. And when I was doing yoga last week, and she always says, set an intention before we start our practice. And my intention is always now to increase my love, I suppose, for that little girl and the nurture. And that's what prompted me to write the letter that I was talking to you about in the last session.
So we spoke about this last time, and I was saying that even just the action of writing it can be helpful, just to sort of, but it sounds like you took a brave step and you sent it and you got a surprising response. So just run me through, let's break it down a bit, because I'd like to understand more of the narrative. So in writing the letter, how was that for you?
A discovery I have made, that sort of penny drop moment I had in one of your sessions, where I was just as guilty of neglecting and abandoning the inner child as anybody else, it enabled me to reach a point where I was willing to forgive myself, so therefore I had to be willing to forgive other people. And that was a really big shift for me, because I had, you know, I've for years and years I had so much pent-up anger and resentment and bitterness and regret, I suppose, and it was eating me alive. So having had that revelation, then and this it gave me a, I think I would describe it as it gave me a kind of inner confidence that it is okay to be me. And actually, if I'm going to move forward in this spirit of forgiveness and peace, I want to live my life, which is the way in which I want to live my life. And I have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
Yes, yeah, and there's a point where you can think about things, read about things, talk about things, but until it becomes action, it's not really integrated.
No, and I was, my biggest fear, I think, was, yes, I felt all these shifts inside of me and I felt confident to walk into my future with this inner peace or this inner confidence that I feel that I've gained, you know, from doing this and other things. But then the thought of actually being me in an environment with those I perceived were the ones who'd hurt me was really terrifying for me. And what will she say and what will he say and how will they react, and will I be strong enough to deal with all that? I don't think I will. And then I started to get into fear again, and you know, and I hate that feeling. And I think that's really what prompted me to write the letter. And I wrote it in I wrote it at 1:30 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. I was just felt this inner voice saying, you've got to just get this down on paper. And I have been doing a lot of writing, you know, as part of this journey as well.
And what was the, obviously I don't want you to reveal what you feel comfortable sharing, but what was the sort of essence of the letter?
I decided to write it to all because one of my biggest things has been the secrets and lies, I suppose, you know, that somebody will say one thing to one person, a different thing to another person, and everybody gets tied up in knots. And I've always hated that since I was little. I can't bear it. For me, it's just open, transparent honesty that I think that's how we should all be. And it doesn't mean to say you tell everybody everything, but when you're deliberately not telling some people some things and telling other people, you know, things that you are the opposite to what you've told other people, then it gets a bit headphones, you know.
It's stressful as well, right? It's very hard really to be relaxed with people when you're like, which version of me am I meant to be, and which bit have I it's excuse my language, but it's a head fuck.
It is, and that's what I just couldn't cope with. So I made a very, very considered decision that I was going to write the email to all of them openly. I BCC'd everybody, but it was a letter that I wrote at the same time via email to everybody, so they will have all received it at the same time. And I put in the subject line. I didn't want it to be confrontational in any way whatsoever, because that's not the spirit in which I'm trying to live my life now. So I put in the subject line, love, peace and good health, so that they would come. They think I'm a bit of a weirdo anyway, so that wouldn't have surprised them. But and I just, you know, I said, I was very honest. I said, I didn't know whether it was the right thing that I was doing, but I felt compelled to put pen to paper and just explain where I'm at, because, you know, there's been no communication between any of us for quite some time now. And I'd said how sad I was that we were such a fractured unit and that I couldn't see a way out. And then I knew I had to be fairly assertive, but lovingly assertive, if you know what I mean, because in the past I've been, you did this and everybody,
you know, you've been
you
blaming did this and accusing and, you did that, and attacking and,
yeah. And there's a very blame attacky people,
they defend, right? So you get that sort of defensive reaction.
And you know, over the years with various other things that I've done, I've learned that I can only change me and I can only change my behavior, and I'm completely powerless over everybody else, so or anything else, you know. So that's the spirit in which I wrote it. But I was assertive in that. And I said, you know, I believed that the family had deep and complex problems going back probably generations, and that it wasn't going to be an overnight resolution, if there was going to be a resolution at all.
Right.
And the only way I felt that it could be resolved was if we all take personal responsibility and look at our part in the dysfunction. And then I said, and that's what I've been doing over the last 18 months, 2 years. I mean, I've been on the journey for longer than that, but the sort of intense personal inner growth has been, you know, sort of 18 months in the making and intensive since I've been working with you. And And then I just explained a bit how I'd felt as a child and the crippling, suffocating, paralysing fear that I lived in for most of my childhood and my 20s, and that I had decided I didn't want to live like that anymore. And I'd put some real effort into, you know, addressing the reasons and the causes why. And then I just said, you know, and I discovered that I had become, and this is what I believe so fundamentally, that I'd become this judgmental, critical woman with high expectations, driven, you know, relentlessly driving myself to succeed, and I wasn't very proud of the person that I'd become. And
there was a taking responsibility for your side, which I think is always a helpful way of inviting others to do the same.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what it was. It was an invitation, but it wasn't saying, and you should do the same, otherwise, it is all whatever. And then I just said that I had worked, you know, to dismantle all those character traits or whatever it is, personality defects or whatever it is, over a number of years to try and dismantle each one. And I think that's when I let go of my belief that I was my work, which has happened since I've been doing review, sort of this self-esteem thing about if I'm not this successful career woman, then I'm nothing. When I let go of that, that's when I felt this merge happen. And I
right.
could be.
That's very interesting.
Who I am. And so I just explained in the letter that I'd done, and that I was proud of the work that I'd done. I liked the person that I'd discovered, you know, and I was.
Say that again. I want to hear that again. You say you liked the person you discovered.
I liked that I found. Yeah. And yeah, I know what I found is somebody who hates conflict, who doesn't really care whether I'm a success or not, as long as I'm happy and peaceful. And the peace is, you know, that's what I found. And I ended my letter and I decided that I wasn't going to send it straight away. Oh, and I ended the letter saying, you know, that this, I'm happy with who I am. I'm walking into my future with a renewed confidence or whatever, self-assuredness. And I've accepted that the family issues may never resolve. And I've got acceptance around that. It's not what I want, but I've got acceptance around it. And the only, and you know, and I have to accept that I might never have that family that, you know, that idealized family that I've always longed for. And I want you all to know that I take full responsibility for my part in that dysfunction, and I'm truly sorry for the pain I've caused for any pain I've caused any of you. And I hope we can move forward in some way or another. And I didn't prescribe how I thought that should look, what I thought that should look like, or how I thought we should do that. And then I ended it. I wish you all love, peace, and good health.
Wow, Katie, good for you. Good for you.
And it came from somewhere else. It wasn't, or maybe it came from that inner child. Maybe from the little girl. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe the little girl connected with something.
I feel a bit emotional saying that, but so anyway, I sent it, and then I had a response back.
And what was, talk me through the response.
So it made me cry, and
in a good way, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously happy tears and sad tears.
Well, it was sad and happy. You know, it's sad that I'm 50 and, you know, it's taken 50 years to get to this point. That's sad for me. And my parents are, you know, old now. And I felt that a lot, actually, the last few days, that they're old, you know. And when I finished, I read it and I started, like, the tears started coming as I was reading it. I was on my own. And I just felt, when I finished reading it, I just thought, it's time to forgive and move on. I really felt that. It was a real, like, visceral feeling for me.
I think this is a really positive step. It's a positive step for you because you were able to find that place where you could communicate in a loving but authentic and sort of truthful way. And that was met in the spirit in which it was intended. But fundamentally, the issues haven't gone away. Your parents haven't suddenly transformed. You are on a path of changing. But the goal here is not that everyone agrees. The goal is not to get to a point where everyone goes, oh, okay, now we've talked about it. We now agree with Katie's view of the situation, and therefore it's resolved and dealt with. The goal here is for you to find a sustainable place of softness and healing in your heart and appropriate boundaries in the relationships. Because I think the danger here is that the objective becomes an unviable and unsustainable objective, that we're going to find some point of perfect union and sort of marriage of ideas and understanding that is sort of deeply healing on a heart level. But that isn't normally what happens, because there are different perspectives and there are different experiences. And you're on a proactive path of change and transformation. They may not be at this point in time, which means they can only see things through the lens of, one can only see a situation through the lens of their own dysfunction, right? So they're not suddenly going to transform and change. And a dangerous path to go on is to think, oh, we've had a step forward. Oh, that means it's going to get to this sort of fantasized place. You're then only going to be disappointed. So what I think is much...
It's really helpful for you to say that, because that is, I think I'm guilty of, you know, idealizing, and also wanting everybody to think,
you want to be seen in the sense that they'll go, oh my God, you're totally right. That's exactly what's been going on.
And that's what I want.
I'm sorry, Katie, it's not what's going to happen. So what I would say, it's almost like being at the casino and banking the wins along the way. So rather than sort of going, right, I've got to win everything in the casino, it's going, I've just had a real win. I've expressed myself in a vulnerable, authentic way, and I've been met in a way which is ultimately loving and accepting and caring. Sure, there's some bits in there that you might analyze and go, oh, I wonder what's going on there. But fundamentally, that was a really kind and loving response. So take the win, right? Doesn't mean that you don't try and progress it further, but be careful not to build up an expectation that's unreasonable of anyone, including of them, and then leaves you feeling frustrated. What I would do is focus on the love that is there and feel that, appreciate that your parents love you. They might not know how to show it in the perfect way. They might have plenty of their own issues, but aside from all of that, they love you enough to write you a letter like that. And I wonder how that feels.
I feel sadness, yeah.
Hmm. Whereabouts in your body is the sadness?
The same, always the same place, like right in my chest. Yeah.
Is that okay to feel that sadness?
Yeah, it's okay. Can you hear the knocking?
Yeah, can you still? That's fine.
Hello?
Oh, it's the plumber. Wants to come in this room now. It won't happen like this again, I promise.
It's fine.
Sorry.
It's musical rooms around your house. It's fine. I would have a gentle expectation of the conversation. I would also really aim to meet them in the conversation from the same place you wrote the letter. So rather than the sort of place that gets kind of suddenly has some expectation and some excitement, or it could go further and is suddenly pulling for something and pushing for something, just see if you can step back and keep your boundaries and your guards where you need them. So it's not just like...
That's what scares... I mean, I feel scared when you say that. I feel like I don't... It's almost like I don't trust myself to be able to do that.
So what I would really encourage is, before you speak to them, do some meditation, do your presence process. Your objective in speaking to them is not to resolve any of this. Your objective is to stay connected to yourself. And the goal of the call is to practice staying in your body, connected to yourself, whilst being in contact with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything else is bonus, right? Because if you stay connected to you and you're not running ahead and you're not putting pressure on and you're not reacting to it, it gives the whole thing more space then to be able to breathe.
Well, I'll give them a call at some point next week, and then she's just really tactless, but I get accused of being tactless as well. But she wrote back, she goes, yes, okay, a call sounds nice. You all have to phone us because you've blocked us. And I was like, oh.
Funny. That's very funny. Maybe that's so one of the steps forward. They can be unblocked.
I have unblocked them now.
I'm mindful that you've got some distractions around you. Do you have any other questions for me for today?
No, just about the reset program. Do you want me to carry on doing the modules?
I'm trying to remember, did I start you at the beginning? I think I did.
Yes.
So yeah, keep going. So if you do modules 6 and 7 between now and next time, I think that would be, and that actually would fit really well with what you're working with right now.
Okay, brilliant.
Thank you, Katie. And well done. I'm really pleased to hear of the progress, and I'll see you in person, hopefully in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Thanks, Alex. Thank you very much for your support.
All right. Good luck. Good luck getting the plumbing sorted out. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.